I feel by the end of this, we're going to be quite drunk.
Yes.
That's my goal, John. That's my goal right there.
Travel around and drink whiskey?
I doubt we'll be drinking whiskey. More like we'll be traveling around drinking sweet tea, but...
I hear you.
But you get the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 523.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with thewareaglereader.com and people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our patreon.com family, and we love you so. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, I had the COVID shot today, so I'm kind of loopy. I'm not entirely in my right mind right now. My faculties are not facultying right now. How are you, sir?
I guess I'm better than that, but, you know, I'm like everybody else. I'm hanging in there and doing the best I can. So,
We actually had a warmer day. I never thought I would call a high of 50 a warm day, but after we've been down in the single digits for like a couple of weeks, today was positively balmy. Did you enjoy was yours better?
We have warmth coming. But there was a brief moment this afternoon when the sun came out, and it was just glorious.
Yeah, all of our snow is melting, except for the big, as I call them, the big icebergs, you know, where people pile up all the from the parking lots and stuff. But our grass, such as it is, is visible again, and it's amazing. It's I didn't feel like I was going to wreck my car driving to work today for the first time in about 2 weeks, so it was nice. So, well, we've got a few things to talk about today on this episode here. We've got another guess which game it is from Jared, which is awesome. I really enjoyed the first one, and he's come back with another one of those. And he said he's kind of taken some of what we said last time to heart. So this one I imagine is going to be a little more challenging. But he's given me two different options, so we can do the hard version. And if that doesn't work, we can do the easier version, and then we can hear the answer. So that'll be fun. That'll be coming up right after our break. Plus, we have a little more talk at the end, maybe, about our, I called it Men in Auburn Gear. I guess we'll call it the AU Wishbone Road Trip that we're wanting to do as soon as traveling is an option again, maybe. So we're looking forward to that. And by the way, I just was thinking, that's another thing that we're really going to be grateful to the patrons for is we can go out and we can record some really good podcast material, and we can film it for our YouTube channel. So you guys will get some really terrible, terrible entertainment.
Good stuff.
But it'll exist because of you guys, and that's how we appreciate. We try to give back. We try to make what the patrons do for us pay back to them in entertainment value as whenever I can think of anything or you can think of anything, and we can do it. And that should be fun. So we'll talk about that a little bit. But we got some football news first. We got Dylan Brooks. That was like the biggest non-surprise ever, wasn't it?
It was. It was like this slow motion surprise you could see coming 100 miles away, I guess.
Exactly, yeah.
But I mean, you know, he signed with Tennessee. I think he probably would have signed with Auburn if the other step. But I mean, I say this, he committed to Tennessee last April. So it wasn't like a Gus firing thing drove him to Tennessee. But I do think his commitment to Tennessee was one of kind of the, if you were looking at recruiting being a problem, I think that was definitely one where there was a big flag, right? This is a guy that probably should have gone to, committed to Auburn and signed with Auburn in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then he signed with Tennessee. They fired the coaches after telling him they weren't. And then they tried to convince him to stay. And then he said, no, I want to leave. And so they released him from his letter of intent. And originally they said, you can't transfer to an SEC school. And they got a bunch of blowback. And then they said, no, you can transfer wherever you want. And then he signed with Auburn.
Am I entirely off base if I suggest that the way this came across to me was that he made a mistake. He knew he made a mistake, but Tennessee is such a crap show that they provided him an exit ramp despite his mistake, and he took it.
That's fair, but I also think, like, if Pruitt and that staff was still there, I think he would be there. Mm. I don't think he would have done this.
There you go. Okay. All right. Well, that kind of answers my question then. Okay. So, yeah, so he's a defensive end, right? He's kind of like a – well, would he play one of the three defensive linemen in a 3-4, or would he be more like an outside linebacker rushing off the end? What do you think?
Right now, they're telling him he could be either. But okay. I guess it depends on how his body develops and that kind of thing. He's 6'5", like 250. So he could be, you know, kind of a quicker defensive end, or he could be a stand-up outside linebacker kind of guy.
I guess I'm kind of wondering, is he going to be Andre Bruce or like Nate Stallworth or whoever that was back then? Remember on the
Yeah, I think he's more of an outside linebacker type looking at him. Yeah. So I think he could be that guy. And again, it's a huge – it's one player. I get that. But it was a huge signing for Auburn. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, the highest rated defensive in-state commitment in years. He's the highest rated signee in this class. Mm-hmm. He bumped the class all the way up to 20th nationally.
We were like 47 before, it seemed like, at one point, right?
Uh-huh, yeah. So, I mean, again, these guys at the end made a big difference, and he was a big piece. He is the highest rated defensive end we have signed since.
Oh,
you want to guess?
Oh, well, I would guess the played in like what, 13, 14, and 15 and went to the Bengals or something?
Carl Lawson.
Carl Lawson. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Highest rated defensive end signee since Carl Lawson. And so I think, you know, all of those are make it a big deal.
Right.
So.
And didn't I see that there's another Tennessee player that had flirted with Auburn that's leaving now and maybe could possibly come here?
I mean, there's several other Tennessee players that have already transferred to other schools. I mean, their running back transferred to Oklahoma, and I think one of their offensive tackles maybe transferred to Oklahoma or somewhere else.
That's it was an offensive tackle, and he has a very unique name, but I can't remember what it is now. I just remember seeing that today. But maybe it was an old tweet. You know what I mean? Maybe it was one from a couple of days ago, and he already gone off there.
They have multiple other guys who were out there, I think, who were looking at leaving. So.
Yeah.
As we talked about last week, Auburn can afford to be picky now. And they were picky today and picked up another transfer.
Yeah, I got the West Virginia guy.
Yes. A West Virginia cornerback transferred to sign with Auburn today. Drayshon Miller. He has 2 years left to play. He's a good player. I mean, a good size, you know, like 6'1", 190. Good size for a cornerback, and he has a lot of experience. He played in West Virginia's in the Big 12, so they play Texas and Oklahoma and all those schools. And
a lot of passing.
A lot of passing, and he has a lot of experience. And so I think and this is the kind of thing that you want to happen, right? He looks at Auburn as a school that gets cornerbacks to the NFL. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to come to Auburn. He had other options, other good schools, but he wanted to come to Auburn because he saw Auburn churning out NFL players.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've certainly – I mean, there's no doubt that our secondary the last few years has put guys in the show, man. There's no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Well, the team that won the Super Bowl
mm-hmm.
a couple weeks ago, both starting corners were Auburn players. So it definitely is working. And this is the kind of thing that results when you do that, is that players in that position want to come there.
Yeah. Yeah, if we could develop a reputation like LSU and just kind of keep that turnstile turning, you know, guys come in and going out and coming in and going out to the NFL, that'd be just perfectly fine with me. Yeah. And then, let's see, in other news, Travis Williams, T-Will, is now a defensive coordinator down in Orlando. I'm actually glad. I feel like this does more for him as a coach than being a linebacker coach for their couple of years at Auburn would have done. I actually think this is like a better move for him. You know, I think that being at Miami, it would have been just to get him out, get him some experience in other places, you know, and now he'll be a defensive coordinator. He's just working his way up the ladder very rapidly. You know, I could see him as a defensive coordinator at Auburn in a few years. I could see him eventually as a head coach, maybe at Auburn, maybe somewhere else, you know.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah. And everybody loves him. Everybody wants the best for him regardless. So that's cool.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think it's a good move, but it's going to be a very interesting move. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going to be interested to see what kind of defense he runs and how he coaches.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how similar it is. I'm sure he learned a lot from Kevin Steele, but he's had other influences too. I mean, he played for Gene Chizik mm-hmm. in 2004 on that 2004 team.
And didn't he coach with – was he here coaching with Muschamp, and Muschamp is here? I'm trying to remember.
I don't remember. I feel like he came in when Kevin Steele came in, or a year after maybe.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. You have a good question here. Yes, please ask this question. This is great.
All right. I want you, Auburn fan, take yourself back in time a year mentally, okay? And if I came to you a year ago and said that in February of 2021, the only coach on Auburn's coaching staff who would be unemployed is Kevin Steele.
You know what I would have said, John?
How much money would you have bet me?
If you'd come to me a year ago or 6 months ago and said that, you know what I would have said? What? I would have said, poor Kevin Steele, the COVID caught up to him. That's the only thing that could have happened, right? He got the COVID.
Or you know, he retired and he's living on the lake. I guess the scenarios I could see. So.
Yeah, he's fishing, man, no doubt. Yeah, that is pretty amazing. And it really is. I mean, it's fair to say that probably a year ago he was the highest regarded coach on our entire staff.
Yes, by Auburn fans and a lot of outside people.
By everybody. Yes, he was like the highest rated. You know, in other words, if you were going to come and get one coach away from Auburn, it wasn't Gus. It was Kevin mm-hmm. Steele, man. That's amazing. Yeah, that's crazy. I noticed Gus didn't offer him the Central Florida job.
No, he did not.
Well, how about that? How about that? They would have been Auburn South if that had happened. Well, they kind of are anyway with T-Will, but isn't there another one on that staff too from Auburn? I know that, like, Cody went to... What, Tennessee? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
give me a
Cadillac
second.
Stayed. But I saw that Gus hired Gibbs.
Yes. former Auburn defensive coordinator David Gibbs.
Oh, loud. That was back in the Tubbs era, wasn't it? That was,
yes.
That was 2005, I think. Because 4 was Chizik's last year, and then 6 and 7 was Muschamp, and 8 was the guy from Iowa State.
Well, he hired Brian Blackman. I think he had been in Auburn at some capacity at one point. And then Herb Hand is the offensive line coach.
That's it.
And then Addison Williams is the cornerback coach there. Wasn't he a defensive back at Auburn?
I don't remember that name. I don't remember that name ever. I'm sorry. That does not ring a bell. But Herb...
He did not...
What is Gus thinking hiring Herb Hand? Does he not remember his own recent history?
I don't know. So, Addison Williams went to South Carolina, but he was a analyst or a GA at Auburn for a year.
Oh, that's how you... Okay, there was a connection, so that explains it. Okay. Well, anyway, this has been your Central Florida Minute, brought to you by WarEagleReader.com. For all the best in Central Florida news, turn in Central Florida Minute on the AU Wishbone. There was one thing I want to talk about briefly, and I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole, but there was an article that came out that I saw over Twitter this week where, it was just one of many I've seen over the last year and over the years. Whenever, you know, we're talking about firing a coach and bringing in another coach or in this case, like when, you know, our former coach gets another job somewhere and everybody's like, oh, what a great hire. What a great hire. Auburn sure was stupid to let him go. Oh, stupid old Auburn. What are they ever thinking? And they always come up with this. This is what kind of set me off and made me want to talk about this for a minute, John. These national reporters, they always kind of this is the conclusion they always reach. They always reach this conclusion of, well, we don't understand why Auburn did blank, But I guess Auburn is just weird that way and does weird stuff like that because they're Auburn. And who can understand Auburn? Auburn is just like the Sphinx. You know, they're just this mystery, this puzzle that nobody can understand. And it just makes me pull my hair out if I had any left, really. Because they get it so wrong. They act like we do these... They act like... Okay. They come from the position that we fought. Remember, we've said this many times. It's one of the more popular things I've said on here. I say they think Auburn has an itchy trigger finger. In other words, we fire our coaches too quickly. And I always say, no, we don't have an itchy trigger finger. We keep coaches a long time. Honestly, we keep them longer than most of our fan base wants us to keep them. We just like to pull the gun out and wave it around like we're robbing a liquor store a lot, you know. We pull the gun out like in Pulp Fiction and wave it around and yell, but we don't always pull the trigger. I mean, how many times did we wave the gun around at Gus, but we didn't pull the trigger? Because we waved the gun at Gus, and Gus waved his $20 million Kevlar vest, and we said, oh, let's put the gun back in the holster. It's not going to do us any good right now, until we finally decided to do it anyway. But they always act like we're so quick to fire our coaches, and they act like we're unreasonable and irrational in how we do it and how we handle our business. And that just set me off because I honestly feel like they really just don't understand us. They overcomplicate it. They always, the national media always overcomplicates it and tries to read some weird cultural thing into Auburn doing what we do. Really, all we do is we expect four or five things out of our football program, and if we don't get those four or five things, then after a few years, we feel like we should move on and try again. And that doesn't seem irrational to me at all. That seems perfectly rational. The things that we expect are beat Alabama some of the time. We understand. We're not completely irrational. I mean, they're like, he beat Alabama. He beat Nick Saban three times, and they fired him. How irrational. I'm like, no, believe me, we have these conversations, dudes. You know, it's like they act like Auburn people just live in a bottle, in a vacuum, and don't have these conversations with each other. I'm like, look, Central Florida, go back and read the last 5 years of Auburn Twitter to understand what you're in store for. You'll have some great things, and you'll have some things that drive you insane. That's just college football. But don't think we're crazy because of it, you know. So, you know, they'll say, you know, well, Gus beat Alabama three times, beat Saban three times. Why would you fire him? I'm like, well, yes, that's a very important piece of the puzzle, but it's only one piece. We also need you to occasionally be competitive with Georgia. We also need you to win against LSU more than like twice in 8 years. We need you to not blow double-digit leads against LSU. We need you to not like almost lose to Jacksonville State. We also need you to make our program competitive more than once every six, seven, 8 years. I mean, we think about this stuff. We have reasons why we do what we do. And if, you know, maybe instead of just writing these hit pieces where they say Auburn does these inexplicable things, they're just crazy down there at Auburn. Instead, how about you talk to an Auburn fan or two and ask, why did you want to get rid of Gus? And we'll tell you. We'll tell you we loved him. We wanted him to succeed. We always like our coaches, pretty much, Terry Bowden, and we want them to succeed. But when they don't, we're rational about it. We pull the trigger and we move on. It's nothing bizarre and crazy about that. And beating Alabama three times is part of the reason he lasted 8 years, honestly, and not five. So is any of this making any sense at all, John, to somebody who's not inside my virus-inoculated, twisted brain right now?
It is making sense, and that was well said.
Okay. Thank you.
Well said. And I think, you know, again, option A for me is you don't have to read these people and you don't have to follow these people. And it's part of my overall life view that I'm trying to spend a lot less time worrying about what other people think, including football writers who don't pay a lot of attention to Auburn but like to have hot takes about Auburn. Like, I don't care. The things they're saying or tweeting or doing or whatever is because they want a reaction, not because they genuinely believe that that's that way. So I understand what you're saying, and I understand, you know, that they don't get that. I do think the this is my perception is that the national media is kind of gotten the idea that we've had whatever four coaches since 1990 or whatever, mm-hmm. And that it's a lot less than most other SEC schools or big power schools. So,
amen.
I think people realize that and they're like, oh, okay, it's not. Some of this is just a shtick or whatever they like to put it on with fans as the trigger finger people.
Well, speaking of shtick, too, I'll just also point out that if both of us took the high road, it wouldn't be nearly as entertaining of a podcast.
It's fair. It's fair, and I'm not.
I have to take the
low road at everything.
I have to take the low road when I need to, man. I gotta have my reaction sometimes.
No, it's fine, and there's gonna be stuff that sets you off, and you're mad about it. But I get that 100%.
All right. Well, in the other big sport that we love, but we haven't been loving it lately. And again, I just keep clinging to this notion that they weren't going to play in the freaking postseason anyway, and so let's just enjoy every game as best we can. But I'm not enjoying every game right now. LSU put 50 on them at halftime. That was not pretty. I'm getting to the point now where I kind of want to fast forward to the end and see what the score is and then back up and decide if I want to spend a couple hours of my life. I mean, I love watching them play, but when they just get buried, I feel like, maybe I could, do something else this afternoon and watch next Saturday or something, So what do you think about basketball right now?
I mean, it's not good. Again, they had a bunch of cancellations, right? So they like got ready to play a game rescheduled, got ready to play a game canceled, that kind of thing. And so we hadn't played a game in a week. We ended up playing three road games in a row. Ugh. The first SEC team to do that in like 30 years. And it didn't go well. I mean, LSU came out intense and ready to play, and Auburn did not. And I think Pearl, chewed them out after the game. But I think it was also like a young team in their third road game in a row with a long layoff, and they weren't ready. And so I think, I think they're doing the best they can. They're a young team, and stuff's going to happen. But that was not a great game. That was not a pleasant game to watch. Like you said, it wasn't even a game that had a lot of those fun spurts in it.
No.
I mean, it was just a little LSU beating us in the head with a tire iron for two hours. So I did not enjoy watching them continually get every rebound and get uncontested looks at the basket regularly and that kind of thing. That got old. So
there were two things happening in that game. One, we were not playing any defense on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. They could just score whenever they wanted to. That's a bad part one. And part two was Sharif Cooper decided he needed to win the game on offense and tried to do too much. And when you're not getting fouls called that are against you, and you're not scoring, they're killing you. I mean, I feel like he's not going to make it to the end of the season the way it's going now. They're just killing him, and they're not getting, It's kind of like what they did with Shaquille O'Neal back when he was a freshman at LSU, the Hack-a-Shaq. It's like, it was like if they don't call fouls when you foul Shaquille, just keep fouling him. If they do start calling fouls, just constantly sub in second, third string guys to foul him and foul out. And that's kind of what they're doing to Sharif Cooper is they're not – the referee's just not calling anything when Sharif gets fouled half the time. And so Sharif just drives to the goal and gets killed.
Yeah. And they play him for the pass, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when he drives, a lot of guys drop and cover the passing lanes because that's his natural tendency is to set somebody up when he does that.
Right.
And then one guy stays with him and hacks him and they don't call it. So, it is a real challenge for him right now. But he's got to get some help too. I mean, we got to rebound and play defense better on the other end of the floor, and other people have to be able to create their shot. I mean, it can't all be on him doing stuff, but clearly the offense is not where it was those first couple of games when he came in. So,
right.
It was an ugly game. We got a couple games the problem is we got a bunch of tough games now.
Yes.
Mississippi State was the one bad team, and we were supposed to kind of get our mojo back playing against them. Yep. And that game got canceled and maybe rescheduled. They haven't picked a date yet. But now we got like Florida at home on Tuesday and then Tennessee at home on Saturday. And then we go to Alabama. So yeah, that's going to be tough. That's three really good teams.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, it's tough to get right. You know, being at home helps, but it's tough to get right against really good teams. So it's going to be a challenge and be interesting to see. So,
well, I think this whole season has been basically like the A-Day game in football, and it's helped us get better and figure out things we need to work on. And even if we don't have Sharif next year, and again, I'm not giving up on the remaining games. I'm not giving up on the season, but the season is the remaining games, basically. But beyond that, what we have to hope is that losing all these close games, remember, it wasn't that long ago that they almost beat Alabama.
Yeah.
You just have to hope that all these close games are a learning experience, like I said the other day, like the 2018 season was for the 2019 team. We hope that this will be a learning experience for the 2022 team, the 21-22 team, to learn how to turn that corner. And man, and we'll have some help. We'll have more players coming in, and we won't all be freshmen and sophomores anymore. That'll certainly help.
Yes.
Anything else about basketball you want to talk about?
No, I mean, again, we got three or four games left. They have said that, you know, because we're not playing in the postseason and the weird season's been, they can do like five or six extra weeks of kind of conditioning and not practice, but some, you know, some workout kind of stuff after the season's over. So I think that'll be good for the players to,
yeah, definitely,
you know, some of the guys to kind of build up heading into the offseason. So.
Well, you know, these guys are just going to get better. I mean, JT Thor, if we still have him next year, you know, think about what Wiley did before his last year. Remember how he just looked like a different player?
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine them doing that to some of these guys, getting them in the weight room, getting them in the, you know, at the eating the right foods and everything and working out. I mean, if Thor fills out a little bit with his already really long frame and long arms, oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's going to be an absolute force.
You know what he could also be really good at? He would be a great goalkeeper in soccer. Now, I know he's not going to make near as much money doing that probably as he is in the NBA, but with those arms and his athleticism, you could probably put him in the goal of a soccer team and you couldn't get anything past him. You couldn't get a ball past him probably. He'd make a great goalkeeper. But anyway, well, John, you know, we don't do ads. We don't try to sell you any kind of pharmaceuticals or
Bassomatic.
No Bassomatic, no farm implements, no furniture. We depend entirely on our listeners to keep us going and to pay our bills, including all the various website hosting, everything. Plus, like I said, hopefully we'll get to do a nice big feature for the YouTube channel we have, AU Wishbone TV, and for the podcast. And it would be cool to kind of break that up and have like a segment every week. You know, like if we did it in the fall, we could do it like the rest of the fall and on into the spring and everything. So I have lots of ideas I'm working on for that. But one of the things we'll have to do for that is get some kind of video editing software. And I'd also want to get some kind of a decent little camera or something that we could, and a mount we could put on the dashboard of our rental car or whatever. So we got a few things to talk about and think through with that. But the patrons will make that possible. If you want to join their ranks and help propel us to new heights of crazy Auburn SEC-based entertainment for yourself, go to www.auwishbone.com. www.auwishbone.com. Join the AU Wishbone Auburn family that makes things like that possible and this show possible. What I do, as I've mentioned before, we've got our March Madness brackets coming up that all of our patrons will get to participate in. We've got the Formula One season fantasy league coming up that we've done the last two or three years. It's always fun. We usually have a handful of folks to do that. We'll have various other things as the year goes on. But to do that, go to www.auwishbone.com. And I also read the names in my entertaining and wacky fashion every episode. And our current patrons include, but are not limited to. No, they are included, and they are limited to. I don't want to mess up this time. Where'd they go? Where'd my fellow? Chris and Clinton Stewart, Carl Von Drucker, Samuel Salvatore, and Christopher Burleson. Thank you, gentlemen. We have Bart Lindsay, Bradley Blackman, Chris Usher, Gary Grant, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Tom Anderson, Willie Carden, Ann Kangian, AU Falling Up, Ben Bloodworth, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Daniel Odom, David Evers, David Hegler, Emmanuel Seaman, George Gaston, Jacob and Robin Fleming, James Greenwell, Joel Beckham, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B., Phil Davis, Preston Settle, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Steve Harlan, Timothy, W.D.E. Ritchie, Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Boddy, and then we have Alex Wynn, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Cato the Barner, Chris the Hilton. Chris is going to send me a nasty tweet one of these days. Colby Butler, Danny Flack, and as the internet speeds up, Darris Benton, David Simpson, Di Bama, not a minute too soon, Earl Ricks, Eric Mahan, Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kanoy, Kevin Mahan. You know, you and I both have met quite a few of these folks over the last couple of years, and it's just always so cool. They are, without exception, the most awesome people I've ever met. I promise you that. Kevin Kanoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Algorithm, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Ross, Russell Milling, Shannon Butson, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Snowdog, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Tony Perry, Auburnovus, Ben Amos, Brandon Smith, Chris Como, Darren Pyle, David Smiley, Donnie Reynolds, James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrecht, John Stubbs, John Zavachin, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, Justin Bean, Lawrence Kane, Mark Squire, Matthew Flowers, we're almost to the end, Mick Vigicana, Nicholas Craig, Paul Bankson, Robert Drain, Robert O. Sammons, Russell Butler, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, that's the truth, Ruth, Spanky, wasn't that the dog that got killed on WandaVision? No, that's Sparky, Spanky, Stephen Thompson, Trevor Johnson, Kenneth Britt Rains, Brant Rumble, Chris, our one-time and our anonymous donors, we thank you all. Go to www.auwishbone.com and help propel us on the way.
End of this, we're going to be quite drunk.
Yes.
To being quite drunk on the road in the SEC. Yeah. All right. And now, John, are you with me? Are you with me? I know you maybe take off for the restroom or something during that.
I'm ready.
You're ready? Jared has sent us, I don't have an audio for it, but he may have something on here. I can't remember. He has sent us installment 2 of Guess Which Game and Which Year. And this was so much fun last time. I can't wait to hear this time. So here we go.
Hello, Van, John, and the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrick, a.k.a. The Death Probe, a.k.a. Yard Sale Artist, with your latest edition of Guess the Game. All right, last week you guys said the clip might have been a little too long and there might have been key names in it. So I've shortened the clip and I'm going to bleep the names.
Ooh.
And I think it's going to be insanely difficult. But here it is with a shorter clip and bleeped names. And all I want to know is who were we playing and what year was it?
I'm ready.
As a forewarning, I did make a backup where the names aren't bleeped in case you guys get stuck. But let's go with the hardest one first.
Yep.
Here we go. Tell me, who were we playing and what year was it in Guess the Game?
Oof. Again, no timeouts. Gonna loft it to the corner. To almost caught it, and it's intercepted by and it's over.
All right,
that's it.
I think it's pretty tough when we go shorter and bleep names, but you guys tell me. If you need the hint file, I've got one right here for you, Van, if you want to play it. Good luck.
All right, first off, there wasn't a lot of profanity in that one, was there? Came across to me as it's like I don't know who the announcer was going, he throws the boop ball at the boop receiver. All right. So I'm going to play that part again. I want to hear it again. Let me see if I can find the right spot. Bear with me.
Hello,
here.
Van, John, and
again, no timeouts. Gonna loft it to the corner. To almost caught it, and it's intercepted by and it's over.
All right, that's it.
Okay, so John, my first question, I don't know who had the ball. Was that Auburn winning with an interception or losing with an interception?
I'm not sure, but let's do this.
Okay.
How many games have ended where either Auburn or the other team was throwing the ball in the end zone.
Right.
And it was intercepted there. Like, and,
see, that was a national broadcast, not like Rod Bramblett or Jim Fife. So I don't know. I don't know if it was our guy. Because, I mean, the crowd didn't sound happy. There was, the announcers didn't sound happy. But does that mean they're unhappy that Auburn won? Or unhappy that Auburn...
Could have been a road crowd and Auburn intercepted it or
exactly.
something. Exactly. So, again, let's focus on the action part. Like,
yeah.
The quarterback threw the ball in the end zone at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a close game, and it was almost caught, and then it was intercepted. So who do we think – can you think of a game where that scenario happened?
I'm trying. I want to hear the end of this play one more time to hear if the crowd is excited or sad. That'll tell me at least where it was played. So the all right, hold on. Here we go.
Hello, Van, John, and the rest of the eight.
Timeouts.
And guess the game.
Here we go.
Again, no timeouts. Gonna loft it to the corner to almost caught it, and it's intercepted by and it's over.
All right, that's it.
Okay. I can't tell if the I don't think the crowd was excited. What did you I
couldn't tell.
Yeah.
But so the other thing he said at the beginning was out of timeouts.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's a desperation.
Both teams are out of timeouts, but
it was a desperation last play, throwing it in the end zone, and it gets intercepted. Right. Sort of like a Hail Mary type thing.
But also, well, or again, like a, you know, they drove down the field at the end, and they had to have a touchdown to win. Maybe they were even at the 20 or 15, or whatever they threw at the end.
Yeah.
But they didn't have any timeouts, so they couldn't run it, and they couldn't get a sack or anything, and they just lofted it up there in the corner for their guy, and it didn't work. Okay. I don't think it was a recent broadcast.
Yeah.
I mean, listening to the announcers, I don't think that was one of the last couple years. Like, what, I mean...
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a game where either team ended on an interception like that, and nothing is coming to my mind. Unless it would be like if it was like the Florida game in 06 or 07, where we scored and then they had like 15 seconds left on the clock and they tried to drive down and score and didn't. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember those kind of plays. I remember the big play before that. You know, because like, you know, like when we beat Florida 10-7 in 1989, everybody remembers Wasden catching that pass from Slack, right? But, you know, we were in the stadium, and on the last play of the game, the Florida quarterback hit the receiver wide open with a bomb that would have won the game for Florida, and he dropped it. But nobody remembers that because everybody remembers Wasen catching that touchdown. So if there was a play like that, the play after the play, you know, I don't, you know, like what if, you know, what if the kick six had been followed by Alabama throwing a Hail Mary that got intercepted by Auburn? All we would remember is the kick six. We wouldn't remember that. So could it be something like that?
I was thinking about one of the Clemson games, but I don't know if any of them ended that way.
Well, no. The Clemson 2010 game.
The overtime one?
Yeah, they dropped a pass, and then they missed the field goal, so that wasn't it. But that was good thinking. That's on the right track there, but that wasn't it. I guess we're going to have to play the clues because I really can't.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. I'm just drawing a blank on games that ended like that. I'm going to kick myself here in a minute, I know, but here we go. I appreciate him giving us both options. That was very smart. All right, here we go.
All right, you've elected to play the hint file where the names are no longer bleached, so let's give this one a listen and guess the game.
Again, no timeouts. Shaw going to loft it to the corner to Jeffrey. Almost caught it, and it's intercepted by Devon Washington, and it's over.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. Well, yeah, the names to give it away, right? That's Connor Shaw and Jeff.
South Carolina.
Definitely.
Auburn.
And Washington.
Devon Washington. Man.
So that had to have been the first 2010 game?
Yes.
See, all I remember from that game is Cam Superman.
Mm-hmm. But it was a close game.
It was, yeah. See, we remember the second game that year in Atlanta. We beat the snot out of them. Just wailed on them. But that first game was close.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jared was very smart to bleep those names because, now, you know what's funny? If he bleeped the second name And all we'd heard was Shaw. He says Shaw so quickly and quietly, I almost didn't catch it.
Well, and then I thought he said Jeffrey for the receiver, and that was their big receiver.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If he bleeped Jeffrey and just left that Shaw throws, you know, that almost could have gotten by me, but I think I caught it. Did you catch Shaw at the very first?
I was hard to be sure that's what he was saying. But
exactly. And when he said Jeffrey, you're like, okay, then it's definitely Connor Shaw. Yeah. All right. Well, let's see what Jared has to say about it. I'm sure we got it. But yeah, it definitely, it's kind of like it's almost impossible without the names if it's not a play that we recognize. And then with the names, it's a lot easier. So here's what Jared says.
If you guessed that this was the 2010 Auburn Tigers playing South Carolina during the regular season, then you guessed right. I hope you guys got it. I'll catch you next time. And War Eagle.
I just want to thank Jared for doing these because that was a lot of fun. And Jared, because we had no clue the first time and then instantly got it the second time, don't feel bad about that because that was a good play. Because that's not a play we were going to think of, right?
Yeah, I like that. Do it that way again.
Do it that way again. That was good. Yeah, again, that was really smart because that's not the play we remember from that game, but it was obviously a decisive play. I thought that was really smart. So that was a good call of a play, and we should have. I just, like I said, I don't remember anything from that game except Cam diving into the end zone like Superman. So. Good job. Right, good job.
This is my question for the listeners. If you got that when we did not, I want to hear about it.
Okay? Yeah. Let us know if you got the bleeped version like the first time I played it. I'd love to hear that. I bet somebody did. I bet more than one person did. I mean, we have preternaturally Auburn historic memories, but there are people out there that are, you know, even more Rain Man-ish than we are about this stuff.
That's fair.
Yeah. All right, well, that said...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone Podcast.
All right, do we have any questions this week?
We have a couple.
Okay.
Our first is from Bill Miner, who says, guys... An atypical favorite play that comes to mind is the 2005 Auburn-Georgia 4th-and-10 fumble into the end zone and recovery to have it brought back out to the 1, first a goal and subsequently winning was great since it almost felt like beating Georgia twice. It was even better since I was watching as an Auburn student alone with my Georgia family.
Nice.
And then he says, a question for y'all. Would be, do you think we will actually play Penn State this year up there? I live in Baltimore. I was so looking forward to driving to the game. Mm. But I have my doubts it happens given COVID to create scheduling snowballs in future years if we don't. Mm. For instance, if this year doesn't happen, we're scheduled to play in Auburn next year. I think if only one game, it gets moved to a neutral site. What are your thoughts? Love listening, Bill.
Yeah, great stuff. I was going to say, I wish that could be one of our – it's not an SEC game, but it's one of those that would be so special. I would love if we could do an AU road trip thing and go up there and ask our patrons and our Twitter followers and our listeners to tell us stuff to do in Happy Valley. That would just be really cool to take a road trip through the mountains of Pennsylvania and go to Happy Valley and watch them play. But yeah, I have my doubts that even if they play the game, that anybody will... I think they'll play the game. I just don't know if anybody will be in the stands, certainly other than Penn State people. What do you think?
We've stayed away from talking about this kind of stuff on the show. But I think there's a chance. I mean, I think, you know... You're right. It's a chance. Like, I think the game is going to happen. I think the game's going to happen in State College.
Yeah.
Will the crowd be 100% full? I don't know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. I hope so, because I'm planning to go. I'm going to go. That's my intent.
Okay.
But Bill asked a fair question. Like, you know, are we sure that they're going to do it? And I think, again, that some of that kind of stuff is going to be state by state, but I honestly think we'll be at a place where just based on the math, like everybody who wants the vaccine will have had it by September.
Yeah.
So, you know, we should be able to be at a place where we can try to do it.
Have you had it yet?
I don't know.
I should have asked you this. Okay. Yeah. Mine just came out of the blue today. I got emailed by the county. I had 1 foot in the pool for my college's faculty, trying to sneak in the back door of the teachers getting in, and I had 1 foot in the county in terms of my like health issues, and I was just kind of waiting to see which one came up first, and it was the county. So if it had been the college, I'd have gone to a hospital and stood in line. Instead, I got to sit in my car and go through a Disney World type line in the mud in my car, and they actually gave it to me while I was sitting in my car listening to the stereos. So that was cool, with the Air Force everywhere. But that was really weird. But yeah, well, let's go ahead and say this then. If it looks like that game is going to be played with attendance, with visiting fans in a normal fashion, then just like you, I will make every effort to go. But if it's like there's still stuff going on and it's still limited, I bet my wife would like lie in the driveway and not let me go. And I would understand.
No, and again, like we don't know.
Right.
I mean, it's a long way away, but I hope we can. I mean, I will say this. I think the game is going to get played.
Yeah.
I think college football teams are going to play full seasons next year, and I think these non-conference road games are going to happen.
Well, we'll monitor the situation. If we can't do our road trip this year, we'll do it next year.
Yeah. But so we'll come back to this. We're going to talk about the road trip thing.
Yeah.
All right. So our next email is from Joey Miller.
Yep.
Who says, hi, Van and John. Thanks for the shows. Have enjoyed them for years. Been with you all since 2013.
All right.
Man, we've been doing this a long time, Van.
We have.
He says, I hope this finds you and your families in good health. He says, my question is, what position group will make the most progress improvement from 2020 to 2021, and why? And then he has some best plays nominees.
Hey, I will note, I don't think we've talked about it. This is our 10th year. We did 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. This season, this fall, will be our 10th season doing the show. Yep.
Wow.
10 years. 10 years of wacky fun and hijinks. We've had the hijinks and the wacky fun. So which position group will make the most improvement from this past season to this coming season? I sure hope it's quarterback. and wouldn't offensive line be nice? A nice surprise.
Yeah, I was going to say offensive line. You know, maybe, you know, we bring in a transfer or two. Maybe some of the JUCO guys get healthy and get right. Maybe it's just other guys with different coaching,
mm-hmm.
you know, a different system play better. So I was going to say offensive line, but I think quarterback is a possibility. I think, you know, Bo Nix has a lot of talent, and with different coaching and a different scheme, you know, and, you know, like theoretically a little better offensive line play in front of him. I really genuinely think he could have a really, really good season. So I think those are both good answers.
I'm going to tell you two other positions that I would like to see him some improvement on, and I'll tell you why. Lest we forget 2020, I'd like to see the defensive line play better. Mm-hmm. I think they were they let us down a little bit last year, surprisingly. Yeah. Now we you know, we expected a letdown from what we'd had in 19, obviously, but I don't think anybody expected us to basically become so porous. The other position I think could be very interesting that I haven't heard a lot of talk about is receiver, simply because I expect our passing game to be very different than it has been this fall.
That's good. That's a good point. I mean, it's a completely different cast of characters at receiver,
yeah.
but they're very talented. And you're right. It's going to be that we're going to be asking them to do different things.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting.
No, those are all good answers. And again, I'm with you on defensive line, especially we were terrible at getting off the field on third down. So making some plays on third down and getting in the backfield, I think that's a big thing I'm going to be looking for.
That would be very nice.
All right. So here's the second part of Joey's question. He says, as for the best plays, there are a lot I have seen. One of my favorite plays is old school, and I was fortunate to see this in person. Auburn versus Tennessee in 1983. It was a close game in the third quarter in Knoxville.
Punt return.
1914, Auburn. Tennessee punted. Freshman Trey Gaines took it near the Auburn 20-yard line, wove his way back and forth through the Tennessee punt team for a touchdown. It seemed to take forever for him to make it to the end zone.
It did.
It stunned the crowd. took the fire out of Tennessee. Auburn won going away 37-14.
Yep.
By the end, there were about 10,000 Auburn fans and the ushers left in Neyland Stadium.
They, as Coach Tuberville once said, they're a loud crowd, but they will get quiet if you get up on them. Yeah, you know, it's amazing how things even that far back can just stay so vivid in your mind. Do you remember how when you'd see a game played in Neyland Stadium, it seemed like you're watching it from a helicopter?
Yes.
It always seemed like you had an incredibly high angle looking down. And I remember Gainis catching that punt, and there were instantly two big Tennessee guys, one on either side of him, in front of him. And I swear to you, he went between them under their arms and squirted out and took off on that punt return.
Hmm.
So he broke like a double tackle immediately and then went back for that score. As soon as he said 83 Tennessee, I knew exactly what play he was talking about. So there you go. So, Jared, don't do that one next week.
All right. That's it for the listener questions this week. But if you have others, please send them to us at auwishbone@gmail.com.
That's right. That's right.
We'll read them on there.
That's right. And now I guess our last little bit here, we were talking about.
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
I don't have facts to back this up.
Well, I guess around the SEC, we've talked about what's going on with various teams and Tennessee not actually being able to field a team this fall because all their players have left. But is there anything else that we need to note just football-wise before we talk about our road trip plan?
I don't think so. I mean, there's been a little bit of player transfer movement in the SEC, but nothing huge or dramatic or anything. So.
Well, I don't have a whole lot to talk about. I just wanted to mention it. I just want to keep the idea in front of people, including ourselves, because I really want to come up with some good stuff. So I guess, you know, preliminarily, if that's a word, we could just kind of ask if anybody has any, you know, clever ideas. Like, we don't know when we're going to do it. We don't know where we're going to do it. But if you have just some generic ideas of if you do something like this, you should do this, right? Right now, I have two things in mind. Right now, I have us having conversation in the car driving around there, driving there. And then I have in mind with like the camera on the dashboard. And then I have in mind like us at like cool places to eat or whatever when we get there. Because obviously we're not going to be able to film a lot in the stadium. We could probably get a few snippets with our phones or something, you know, just to say here we are in the stadium. But it'll mostly be us. It'll mostly be like cultural stuff outside, going to the city, going to the stadium. So what other things could we do on a road trip like that would be entertaining? So if listeners have any ideas. Now, do you have any thoughts about that?
I mean, again, I enjoy doing research before I travel anywhere, so I'll be happy to do the research about places to eat that are both good and that the locals recommend. But also, like, are there good tailgating areas where fans should go, and we could even pick up, you know, whatever barbecue or something else and eat it in those areas before the game. So I like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then are there areas where Auburn fans can congregate? Are there pregame things we should do?
Right? Yeah.
The different stadiums, different campuses have different kind of pregame events. And so, like, I did actually, I was texting about this with my mother, and she said that, you know, their recommendation would be Texas A&M. Like, they felt like that was just the fans, the pregame, the band, and everything was just awesome, and that we absolutely should do that one.
Well, you know, I was going to say to you that I looked at our schedule for this fall, and again, this fall is a complete mystery, so we'll see if we're able to do anything. But I looked at our schedule for this fall, and I saw that there are really three possibilities that seem noteworthy, and that is Penn State, and then at LSU, and then at Texas A&M. So that jumped out at me too. So I am simpatico with your mom in so many ways, but certainly in that way. So I'm down for that if it ends up being possible.
All right.
All right, well, we'll mark that down. And we'll see if, again, if our listeners come up with anything that we're not thinking of that we could also do too. So, but like I said, I plan on filming stuff for the YouTube channel and also recording the audio conversation bits just to use as like a segment, like Jared's segment does, you know, like for a couple of minutes or something every episode. So, all right. Well, that's pretty much it for me. Any other thoughts from you?
No, other than just, you know, be careful. And if you get some warm weather, you enjoy it while you can.
No kidding.
Savor every moment.
Every moment. It was like summer here today. It was that blazing 50, and I was just running around and only one jacket. It was amazing instead of three layers. So, all right. Well, our time is up. We thank you for yours. Wargle, John.
Where you, man?
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.